Hello, my name is John, and I'm 16 years old, and today, November 25th, and I'm speaking with Jane, who is my grandmother, and we're recording this interview in Hoover, Alabama. All right, so my first question is, where did you grow up?
I was born in Jasper, Alabama.
All right, and can you tell me about a favorite childhood memory that you had?
I remember we lived in a house on the corner of the street, and we had a street light out in front of the house on the corner. And after we all had our dinner at night, particularly in the summertime, we would meet out under the street light and play games until our parents called us to come inside. We had all sorts of games that we made up, and some that were real, you know, like kick the can and hide and seek and slinging statue and all those kind of things. That just anything we could do out under the streetlight, we were allowed to stay out, and never had any problems, felt totally safe, and were very unhappy when we were called to come in.
And did you usually stay out pretty late doing that?
Oh, I would imagine we were all in by 8:30. No, oh. it was not what you would call a late night, but we probably started maybe around 6 or 6:30, so we had a couple of hours.
And what did your parents do while you were growing up?
Well, my mother was a homemaker, and my father had been the bookkeeper accountant for the furniture store for as long as I could remember. In his first part of his career, he worked in two banks. And then he was hired by Mr. McCutcheon to come and handle all of his payables and receivables and everything at the furniture store, and that's all he ever did. In fact, in the summer, I worked in the furniture store. When people would come in to pay on their accounts, I would write their receipt, and then he taught me how to operate the posting machines and some of the other things that they had in the office that had to do with the bookkeeping.
And what about your mom?
Well, early in their marriage, she had helped. She was sort of the manager of the lunchroom. And she didn't do any of the cooking or anything, but she sort of made sure that everything was purchased and that the people prepared it and that sort of thing. And that was before I was born. When I was born, she didn't work anymore.
All right. And I know you were born afterwards, but do you remember how your family was affected by the Great Depression?
In a lot of ways, they were. My mother had worked for $1 a day, is what her salary was, with the school system to be the lunchroom supervisor. And I'm not sure what my daddy made, but I can remember that they were always very aware of, you know, having something saved, because when he was with the first bank he was with closed during the Great Depression, and then the second bank had great difficulty. So they were obviously a little bit unsure of, they had to regain their feeling of security about the banks, and finally did. But it was a terrible time that people went through, and you could get government commodities. And I can remember hearing stories about people lining up to get cheese. You could have so much cheese and butter, a few items like that people could get. And then during the Second World War, I was just a little toddler, but they had ration books. And your daddy, I think, has some of the ration books, but in order to get tires or shoes or sugar, I remember some of the items like that, you had to have so many stamps in your, they called it a ration book, and when you would get that many, you could present them to get those items. Scary time.
So do you remember being like, you were scared during that? Like,
no,
worried about...
I was too young.
Okay, so you didn't really think about that much. Mm-mm. All right, and I know you talked about a little bit about World War II when you were a kid, but Did you know many people who fought in World War II?
I would hear about them. And we did have to have blackouts at night. All the homes had to have shades that you could pull down so that no light could be seen after a certain time at night, you know, for fear of bombing in this country. And we knew of people who went overseas and didn't come back. And I had some cousins, first cousins who were overseas that didn't come home. And it was mostly like that. The only thing we knew about the war was a little bit we would hear on the radio at night, because that was before television. And then in the movie theaters, they had reels that they would show film of things that were happening overseas that it was really hard to connect with when you'd hear about the war with Japan that was so far away, and some of those islands like Bataan and the Philippines. It was really hard to connect with that because we would just hear about it, but we really didn't know until survivors came back what a horrible time it was.
Did you ever like meet any people who came back?
Right. Our next door neighbor had a son that had been a prisoner, and he came back. He was a prisoner of the Germans, and rarely talked about it at all, but had some stories that his family passed on that were just horrific.
And what was your father's job during the war?
I'm not sure. He was in World War I, and that was before he even married my mom. And he wanted to go overseas so badly, but they stationed him in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the war ended before he could ever go overseas. I think he had something to do with perhaps the bookkeeping. I never really knew what he did because he didn't talk about that.
Where did you end up going to college later on?
It came down, I had seriously considered Huntington in Montgomery, Alabama, because I had gone there as a girl state delegate and I really liked it. But then my sister had gone 2 years to Montevallo and then transferred to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And so then I went down there for a visit and decided that was where I wanted to go. So my roommate, we didn't know each other, but some people that knew each of us got us together, and she was from Macon, Georgia, and so we had a wonderful friendship from then on, and everything just worked out great, and had a wonderful time.
And do you have any fun stories from that time?
Oh, lots of fun stories, and just, you know, good times and how things were different. We had curfews. You could only have 2 date nights a week. The house mother would keep up with your date nights, and no gentlemen were allowed in the dormitories. And so if you had gone out on a date, you told them good night at the front door of the dormitory. There was nobody coming in to the sorority house or the dormitory. They were not allowed unless it was an open time. And then when I moved in the sorority house, the dates were allowed on the first floor just to bring you in until the curfew hour came, and then they all had to clear out at the curfew hour.
So what did you end up doing after you graduated college?
I knew that I was not going back to where I grew up, because there just was no future going back to a small town like that. So I came to Birmingham, and one of the 8 girls that I had grown up with was a year or so ahead of us, and she had graduated from Vanderbilt and was working at UAB, and her roommate was getting married, and so I moved in with her and taught school at Berry when it opened. I was there the year it opened as an elementary school, and I had a 5th grade.
And how many years did you teach there?
I taught there about 3.5 or 4 years.
So, around what time did you meet Senior?
I was probably in my senior year in college, and we had mutual friends that were marrying in Jasper. I didn't know him at the time, but we were both in the wedding, and it turns out that he lived next door to one of my 8 girls that I grew up with. But there was such an age gap there. He was 10 years older. Then he remembered us as little girls playing out in the yard, and had gone off to college and then had gone to Korea. And he was back and had been working for the insurance company of North America for 5 or 6 years when we were in the wedding. And I think when he asked me out, he didn't realize that I was still in college, because he said he probably wouldn't have asked me out had he known I was still in college. But he did. So I met him my senior year in college.
And how long did y'all date before you ended up getting married?
Ooh, about 2 years.
And what year was it you got married?
1960.
And so during that time, were you
I was teaching in Birmingham. Well, the first year we were dating, I lived in Tuscaloosa, and he would come some on the weekends, and we would go out, or I'd come up to Birmingham and stay with friends. At that time, the football games were, a lot of them were played here in Birmingham, some of the big ones. There were a few on campus, but most of the big ones were here in Birmingham, so a lot of us college kids would come to Birmingham for the weekend and go various places. There were some great restaurants downtown, and they began to add some more in Homewood in that area, but that was about as far as, it wasn't anything like it is today, where you had Vestavia, Cahaba Heights. The main area was either downtown around the Tutwiler Hotel, or there was a Dale's restaurant downstairs that you had to go down the stairs. It was probably one of the best restaurants in Birmingham then.
Could you tell me about like a fun memory you have like after you were married?
Fun? We did. We had a lot of good times. He loved to play golf, and so we would go to the Pensacola Open every year. It was a warm-up to the Masters. We enjoyed doing that. But he had done all the traveling he wanted to do, going to Korea and back, and his job required traveling. So he didn't mind what the boys and I did, as long as he didn't have to be a part of it. You could go to Disney World, you could go out to see your sister Carolyn, you could go anywhere. Just leave him with his books and his music and his work. So that's kind of what he did.
And other than that, did you have any like traditional family trip that y'all ever did? Or ever went on like a...
We went to Houston, you know, to visit my sister's family. Most of them were much older, but your dad particularly loved going out on the boat with my sister's husband, who was a heart surgeon in Houston. And he had some, in fact, he went out there one summer and worked for a little while with my brother-in-law and sort of shadowed him around and thoroughly enjoyed that. He did that more than Crawford. Crawford mostly liked to play golf, and he worked every summer for our accountant, Tommy Turpin, and that's what he did up until the time he decided to go into that profession in college. But that's the main thing he liked to do. And then your dad was manager of the swimming pool. I can't remember for how many years, probably at least 2 or 3 years while he was in college. Taught life saving. That was one of the things he did. very first job he had was bussing tables at a restaurant. And then he managed the community school activities building. He unlocked and locked during the week. That was at Cahaba Heights when they had programs in the afternoon and evening. And he was the one that made sure that everything was tucked away like it should be. And I think he was just barely 16 because he was driving himself up there and back at the time.
All right, well, that's all the questions I had, so thank you for doing this.
Oh, I enjoyed it. We'll have to do that again. I'll think up some more things, things that happened. I remember when your dad was, I think he was a freshman at Auburn. He came home at Christmas and got very, very sick. And he had gone with me to shop. And it was right down here where the Publix is, but it's the Piggly Wiggly now. And he just got in great pain. So we got him to the emergency room at Children's, and they put him in the hospital, and he had pancreatitis. And that is very, very severe. And when they put him in the hospital, he was in intensive care and on all sorts of IVs, and they really didn't know whether they might have to remove part of his pancreas. And that being, because he had only had pediatricians, that's how he ended up at Children's. They said, go to the emergency room at Children's. Well, when they started to put him in intensive care, they didn't have a bed that would fit him because everybody there was little. And he was a freshman in college, so they had to send out over to University Hospital and get a full-size bed. And they couldn't put him in the intensive care unit with all these babies that were laying there and little bitties. So they had sort of a supply room that was right next to the intensive care. So they put him in there with his big bed they had to get from UAB so that he would have some privacy because, you know, they were not set to take care of 17 or 18 year olds in the Children's Hospital intensive care. And they just never could quite figure out. He got better. And so they let him go back to college after Christmas. But they had never said anything to him about his medicines. And at the time he was taking a prescription for his face.